One of the most exciting things is really seeing what it does to those people that attend, the excitement level that they have when they are attending the conference and then go back and take it and share it with their friends, share it with their family, share it with their churches.
On the feature today, a look ahead to ARPA's biennial God and Government Conference coming up in Ottawa in April. In the news, Canada's leading pro-abortion group is urging the government to back down on that attestation in the Canada Summer Jobs Program application. We Need a Law gets ready to mark a major milestone in Canadian jurisprudence, and a final look back at ARPA's Bibles Project.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The federal government is being urged again to modify a controversial attestation policy in the application process for the Canada Summer Jobs Program. Just before Christmas, the government unveiled a requirement that all businesses and organizations who wanted money from the program would have to affirm their support for charter rights, including the notion of reproductive rights, in other words, abortion. The requirement sparked a storm of protest, not only from pro-life groups, but also from other businesses and organizations who use the funding to provide services, everything from refugee resettlement to summer camp programs for kids. It also prompted a lawsuit from a major pro-life group in Toronto. Last week, we found out that the executive director of Canada's largest pro-abortion organization has now asked the government to amend the attestation. Joyce Arthur with the Abortion Rights Coalition sent an email to the Prime Minister and the Employment Minister back on January 12th, admitting that the attestation had caused, quote, a great deal of confusion for faith-based organizations. The email asked the government to amend the policy, specifically recommending that the government clarify the wording on the issue to, quote, correct the confusions around the requirements and to help mitigate the effects of any lawsuits. ARPA legal intern Tabitha Ewart says this is a big deal and it confirms a major criticism that's been leveled against the attestation.
The first thing it indicates is just the inherent problems with the attestation itself, that it's vague, that it uses much bigger language than I think it intended to. And so I think that the fact that even from the Abortion Rights Coalition Canada are saying there's issues with it shows that it's a very poorly written attestation. I find it very interesting, though, that Joyce Arthur seems to say you could write the attestation in a way that only captures pro-life organizations and not organizations with pro-life views. I think it can't be done what she wants to do because she talks about wanting to say, well, it's just the people who are actively trying to, she used the word limit rights or actively trying to put out a pro-life message. And I'm just like, what about a church that preaches the sanctity of life? What about a church that holds prayer meetings? Are they all of a sudden blocked? How do you draw that line? I don't think it exists.
Ewart says there's another part of Arthur's email that's also definitely worth mentioning.
She admits that pro-life people are doing good, that churches and other groups with pro-life views should not be barred from this program. And she actually admits that they're doing good in Canada, whether it be childcare, refugee support, things like that. She's actually admitting that they can do good even though they disagree with her on the issue. And that's actually a pretty big deal to kind of have her come out and say that.
On a related note, We Need a Law is getting ready to mark a major anniversary in Canadian jurisprudence, the 30th anniversary of the so-called Morgenthaler decision. That was the decision that removed all restrictions on abortion in Canada.
In 1988, three men went to court and advocated for the right to abort women's babies for profit. And the judges were six men and a woman, and they said that would be okay. And now, 30 years later, there's absolutely no evidence that women who have abortions are more in control of their lives or more successful or happier or make more money or anything. So being pro-abortion doesn't even make sense from a pro-woman standpoint.
We Need a Law researcher Anna Nienhuis says the controversy over the Canada Summer Jobs Program, especially some of the media commentary on that attestation requirement, is again highlighting a major misconception that's out there in Canadian society as a result of that Morgenthaler decision.
It's been really interesting to see CBC and Globe and Mail and media outlets like that publishing articles from people saying this is not a right. The right to life is actually a charter right, but there is no right to abortion. And that's something really important that people don't really recognize.
The actual anniversary of the ruling comes up this Sunday. And finally, a look back at a major project that ARPA was involved in calendar 2017, the Bibles Project. The organization raised about $20,000 to deliver close to 1,200 Bibles to every federal, provincial, and territorial politician in the country. The Bibles were delivered just before Christmas, and ARPA Executive Director Mark Pendinger says the responses have been flowing in ever since.
The messages have been not just positive, but even surprising. One NDP MLA said, "It's a gift that I'm going to treasure and pass on to the next generation of family members." We got positive messages from our Prime Minister, even Justin Trudeau. We had a nice letter from Alberta's Premier Rachel Notley, and then other folks who you might more expect it from, friendly members of Parliament and such.
Penning has written a blog post about this issue on the ARPA website. He says the hope is the campaign will have a long-term impact on the lives of the people who got the Bibles.
My hope is that even if they're not inclined to open up the Bible, they will still put it on their shelf. They will know that they have a Bible. And although they might not open it now, it will be waiting for them when and if their hearts are softened to open it up.
ARPA also wrapped up another campaign in December, the Letter to the Editor contest. It pitted supporters from the West against those from the East. A total of almost 50 letters were submitted, the vast majority of them from Western Canada. Pennica says just because the contest is done, that doesn't mean you should stop writing these letters. In fact, he says, ARPA is more than happy to help in the process.
Hopefully the lesson that we can also learn is that each of us can do the same thing. And if anybody's ever looking for help with it, that's what we, the ARPA staff, are there for. Just send it on over to us. Send it to info@arpacanada.ca. Put a deadline on, like if you need it by 2 days from now or what have you. And we'll do our best to point out some changes you can make, edit for length or for quality. We'd be happy to help.
Back with more after this.
Our 12-step action plan continues in 2018 with the January and February action items. Find out when your official is going to be at a public function you can attend and introduce yourself. Express your interest in meeting for coffee in the coming weeks, and the action plan gives you 2 months to both find an event and attend it. For this one, when you complete it, you can check off January and February. If you haven't heard of this plan, visit arpacanada.ca/12steps for more.
April 18th to 20th. Dates to mark on your calendar for the next God and Government Conference in Ottawa. On the feature this week, I'm joined by ARPA's grassroots manager, Colin Postma, talking about that conference. Colin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Al.
God and government. You know, we don't often hear the words God and government even in the same sentence. In some sectors of society, there's actually an outright hostility to mixing religion and politics. But that's the title of this conference. It's pretty countercultural. Give me some analysis on that, first of all.
Well, Al, ultimately, that's the mission of ARPA. If you look at the mission statement that ARPA has, it's to educate, equip, and encourage reformed Canadians to get involved in political action, first of all, and then also to bring a biblical perspective to our governing authorities. So that's what ARPA is all about. That's what our grassroots is effectively doing. So when they're out there campaigning for various things, when they're looking to change Canadian law, it's about bringing that biblical perspective to government. And so this is our main biennial event. It's our signature event. It's really the biggest event that we put on every 2 years. And it's basically our biggest effort aside from our yearly fall tours. So as ARPA, we would say, we believe that Christ is Lord over all, and that if Canada does what God has said in his word, then Canada will prosper. And if Canadians reject that, then we can only expect to receive judgment for that. I mean, obviously, there's a whole bunch of theological arguments that go behind that as well. But effectively, it's based on the mission. That's our purpose as ARPA, to bring that perspective.
So fundamentally, it's about equipping the base to get engaged when they get back home?
Effectively, yeah. The whole purpose of it is really about focusing on that grassroots aspect of it. It's about the educating, equipping, and encouraging people. So based on some of the layout of the event, I can share with you a little bit. The first day is going to be a primarily policy-focused day. So there'll be a couple of speeches looking at a couple of different topics that ARPA looks at, some of the main issues that we do focus on, some of the things that are going on right now. We recently released our in vitro fertilization report, so there'll be a speech that will be involving that. As well, there's a couple of new updates, kind of a new approach to the preborn human rights aspect of the We Need a Law campaign that we also run, and so that will be part of that day, the first day. The second day will be primarily a lobbying day. That's kind of the focus of that, the Thursday. And so that will be primarily meetings with MPs, meeting with senators, sitting in on committee meetings, that kind of thing will be the focus of that day. So looking at really getting out there and putting some of these things we've learned into practice. And then the third day will be a primarily grassroots focused day. So it's going to include some workshops. It'll include us doing some role playing as well and that kind of thing in order to really help people to gain some of the skills necessary to go back to those places that they came from, to go back to their local communities, and to be a witness, to be a light. So effectively, yeah, the whole thing is about educating and equipping and encouraging people to do those kinds of things.
Part of the conference involves meetings with MPs and senators. We've done this, you know, for a number of years now. What kind of influence do these meetings have?
When you look at people in, like I say, in their local communities, people doing these sorts of meetings with MPs and senators when they come to Ottawa for the God and Government Conference. These kinds of meetings over the past couple of years have really been able to, it's been the feet on the ground of the people who have been able to sort of lay a foundation for ARPA's name to be well respected in government. And so it's something where the work of people on the ground, people that support ARPA, has been foundational to us being able to put out a press release or to be able to put out a policy report and to get people reading it, actually, to see members of parliament willing to read it, willing to respond to it. Even our recent Bibles campaign, this where we sent a Bible to each member of parliament, as well as every senator, MLAs, MPPs, that kind of thing. The response that we've been able to have from that, even from letters that we've received back, some of them have been, you know, obviously just generic responses, but some of them have been pretty heartfelt. And I think that really goes to show the personal connection that individuals, that our grassroots have been able to make on the ground. And so that's why I think that this kind of effort, that equipping and educating and encouraging people from our God in Government Conference, as well as the work that they do on the ground, is just so fundamental to the work that we do.
These conferences also have an impact on the people who attend. It's not just about government policy. I'm thinking, for example, of Arnold Viersen, now the MP for Peace River Westlock up in northern Alberta. He really didn't have too much interest in politics before he attended his first God and Government Conference, and now he's sitting in Parliament. Is that part of this exercise?
Totally. That, to me, is one of the most exciting things about this exercise, is really seeing what it does to those people that attend and the excitement level that they have when they are attending the conference and then go back and take it and share it with their friends, share it with their family, share it with their churches, and new ideas spring up and people just start doing things. And then, yeah, there are people who do go on to get involved in politics specifically. But to me, I think it's even more encouraging to see those individuals who have just made life changes, not changing jobs per se, but where they have just decided that they're going to make a difference in the community that they're in. You know, there may be some students that attend, and we've been really encouraged to see some of them choosing to become lawyers, some of them choosing to become professors, some of them choosing paths towards politics, as well as getting involved in pro-life activism and that kind of thing. But to me, it's really about the people who are already in a job, in a career, who have decided that they're going to take extra time that they have out of their day in order to do this kind of activism. And it's that kind of excitement, I think, where we're really going to be able to make the most impact.
Some particulars on the conference: dates, registration deadlines, cost, accommodation, all that sort of stuff. What can you tell me?
This year, it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past. We always had it sort of, there was a separate hotel, and then the conference space was in a different building. This year, it's actually going to be in the Sheraton Hotel, which is just about 100 meters down the road from the Ottawa ARPA office building. And so it's all going to be contained in the same space, which is really great. So you can come down from your room and be right in the same building as where the conference will be happening. In terms of the pricing and that, there's a couple of new changes this year. So there's a couple of levels that we've provided, a couple of different special rates as well. So there's sort of the generic God and Government full conference fee, early bird price of $300 for Ontario and Quebec residents. And then there's a special rate due to the extra travel costs for those coming from other provinces. The early bird price there is $200. And then there's extra ticket prices for if you're just coming for the God and Government banquet only, or if you live in the area of Ottawa, so you wouldn't need a hotel or accommodations that way. We also have a special rate this year for pastors and teachers. The early bird prices are only valid up until February 5th, so do book it before then. All that information is on the website. We've got a full chart with all of the pricing information. If you have any questions about that, you can direct those questions specifically to info@ arpacanada.ca, or you can contact me, Colin@arpacanada.ca as well.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just a quick programming note to close. The next Lighthouse News podcast scheduled to go online Tuesday, February 13th.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.